You can be seated, church, and go to Mark in your Bible. Mark chapter number 12. I've been preaching through the Gospels this year, since January. And in Mark chapter 12, there here is an unnamed widow lady. If you need a Bible, by the way, grab the Bible in front of you. That's why it's there. The Pew Bible page number is always on the handout also. What is it? Page 1048. And that'll take you to Mark chapter number 12. And I want you to see this incredible story today. There's an unnamed widow lady in the Bible that did something, church, that was so extraordinary that Jesus Christ sat. He's in the temple. He just leans against the wall there, and he sits and he watches her. And he's so amazed at what he sees from this unnamed widow lady. He's so amazed. He calls the 12 disciples over, and he wants them to watch her. He's like, come here, guys, you got to see this. Come here, hurry, get over here. Come here, guys. Come here. I want you guys to watch this. And he uses this as a teaching moment in their life. Sometimes Clint, my oldest son, he'll do that. He'll get me and his two brothers over because he saw something amazing on YouTube. He's a YouTube video guru, I call him. He can find the most amazing stories. You know, they're always good, and you know, they're funny. And he's like, you guys got to see this. Come here, come here. And you know, we'll all be together today for lunch. You know, we always get together on Sunday, the whole family. And he'll be like, come here, guys, you got to see. I guarantee you, he'll have a video to show us today, you know. And something he wants us to see. And so we all got to, you know, gather around, or they'll Chromecast it to the TV, you know. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Now, it wasn't a YouTube video, but it was real life. This is a real story. And Jesus Christ is like, you guys, come here. Come here. You got to see this. You say, well, what in the world did she do? You ready for this? Let me show you, okay? Here's what she did. She comes into the temple. And I guess they, back then, from what I could tell, they had like offering boxes. People would come up and do their offering publicly. And this widow lady comes up to the offering box, and she puts in what would be the equivalent, oops, I missed, of 2 pennies. It was a mite, which actually it was the smallest Jewish coin. A mite. And a mite is actually would be worth about a fifth of a cent in today's money. So the equivalent would be this woman dropped in 2 pennies into the collection box at the temple. It not only got Christ's attention, but he had this story recorded in 2 different places in the Bible for generations of people like us to read. I want to read about this lady. It's only 4 verses, but I want you to look at it. Mark 12:41. Mark 12:41. It's also recorded in Luke 21, but we're going to be in Mark 12:41. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. He calls them. He says unto them, verily, truly, I say unto you that this poor widow, he says, guys, she's cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. There is something of profound significance here that we really, really, really don't need to miss. If this lady got Christ's attention and touched his heart to the point where he actually stops everything he's doing, calls everything to a standstill, calls the disciples over and says, guys, you got to see this, then you know what? I want whatever that woman had. I need whatever she had. Because it's not very often that you see Jesus just stopping everything he's doing just to watch somebody. By the way, are any of you in here people watchers? Do you anybody in here like to go to the mall and just watch people, right? Or somebody told Denise they go to the amusement park and just sit on a bench and watch people. I'm thinking, man, you could do it cheaper out at the mall, amen? It's free there. But yeah, I mean, you know, this Jesus Christ doesn't do that very often. He doesn't do that where he just stops everything and watches what somebody's doing and then calls the disciples over and says, guys, you got to see this. Now, this text really isn't just about giving, because everybody in the text gave in the offering to God. It goes much deeper. You know what I really noticed about this? Look at verse 41, something interesting. Look at that. Verse 41, it says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Did you notice that it did not say that he beheld simply what they gave? It says that he knew that too, but it doesn't say that he just beheld what they gave. It says that he watched how they gave. He beheld how the people gave. You see, this text deals with the heart. In your handout, it says there, it was this woman's heart that touched Christ's heart. It wasn't just the act of giving. It was the attitude of her giving heart that moved Christ. And in the same way today, God is not simply impressed with our giving, but our giving is what reveals our heart, and that's something God does care about. You see, church, listen, God wants you to, this is the bottom line. This is just the bottom line. God wants you to come to the point, and I know we're not all there. I know that. But God wants you to get to the point where you love him more than anything else in the world. He wants you to get to that point to where you can truthfully say, I love God more than anything. I love him more than my house. I love him more than my job. I love him more than my car. Here's a big one. I love him more than my cell phone. I'm meddling now, ain't I? I love him more than my boat. I love him more than my hobbies. I love God more than anything. He wants us to get to that point. And our attitude about giving is a barometer. It's a barometer. If we're honest, it is a barometer, the Bible teaches, of that love. Paul said, the Apostle Paul wrote in the Bible, what and how we give to God, he said, that proves the sincerity of our love. It proves the sincerity of our love for God. Now, what can we learn from this poor widow today? That's the question. And how did her giving so touch the heart of Christ? What made it so special? Remember, Jesus Christ beheld how she gave. So how did she give? What made it so special to God? And there were three things that just popped right out at me, and I want to give them to you. I hope it's a blessing. Number one is this, is that number one, she gave out of her need. She gave out of her need. You know, this woman is poor, the Bible says. She's poor. And as they say down south, she's just as poor as Job's turkey. Anybody ever heard that? Poor as Job's turkey. And she was in financial straits. I mean, the Bible uses a couple different words. It uses poor, but then it also uses the word want. And the word want, if you look it up, it means a falling short. She only had enough maybe for one more meal. Now, and then in Luke 21, it uses the word penury. Penury means a deficit, poverty. This woman had a deficit. She was living in poverty. So what's the point? Here's the point. It's in your handout. Is that this lady did not give to God because it was easy or convenient. She gave out of great need. She was poor. She was destitute. She obviously had no husband. Bible calls her a widow. And it appears that she had no children either. She was all alone in life. She enters the temple all by herself. And this little lady, I think she really dispels the myth that giving is a dollar and cents issue. You know, the idea, well, I'm going to give to God one day when I'm able to. I'm going to give my time one day when I got more time. I'm going to give one day when I hit the jackpot. I'm going to give one day when I get my promotion or when I retire or when this or that happens, you know. I'm really going to give. No, it's a heart issue, pure and simple. Jesus teaches us here in this text, and the widow really teaches us, that giving is a now issue. It's a now issue. It's like, okay, what am I doing? God wants to know, Dan Proctor, what are you doing right now with the life I've given you? It's not what are you going to do 10 years from now. I may not even be here. What are you doing right now with my life? What am I doing right now with my present resources that God has provided for me? Giving is a now issue. And that's what this lady teaches us. It's not about, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, what am I doing right now? There's a great example of this that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians where he talks about this group of people. He calls it the churches of Macedonia. It's like if he were to say the churches of Daytona Beach, you know, and he has us and maybe a few other churches in mind. There were some churches that Paul started in Macedonia, and he used them as an example to try to exhort the Corinthians to get with it. Paul was collecting up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem, and the Corinthians hadn't done nothing, and they were rich. It was a wealthy church. They had stuff, and they were doing nothing. And so Paul said, let me tell you about the churches of Macedonia. Let me tell you about them. And look in your handout and look what he says about them. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 4. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying, begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Are you guys a little warm in here? Do I have anyone in here that, like Bill Schultz or anyone in here that can, okay, can you handle that, Caleb? Especially my air conditioner up here needs to go on. Yeah, the one that's blowing here, yeah. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Oh, so I want you to notice something. These churches, they're people like us, okay? They gave while they were in a great trial of affliction and deep poverty. Now look, it didn't just say they were in poverty. It said they were in deep poverty. Now some of you in here may have known poverty, but I doubt if anyone in here has probably known deep poverty. And then it says they weren't just going through a trial of affliction. He says they were going through a great trial of affliction. And they did not say, Paul, man, we know that we need to give to this. And when this trial's over, and when things are looking up, and when this when the economy gets better here, and when we're out of this deep poverty, man, count us in. We're right there with you, man. We believe in it. And when things change, we'll be right there with you, buddy. We're all in, man. No, they gave while they themselves were in great need. They found a way. They sacrificed to give. And you know what? That really gets God's attention. And when I say they gave while they were in great need, I'm not just talking about financial need. You know, hey, we may be going through areas of need in our lives. We may be going through health problems. We may be going through work-related, you know, issues and needs. There may be family issues. There may be marriage problems. But when we give to God, even during our time of need, like this widow, that truly touches the heart of Christ. He's like, guys, you got to come see this. This guy really loves me. She really loves me. You wonder if they ever do that in heaven. You think God ever calls angels and saints over and says, well, you won't believe what my child just did down there in Daytona Beach. You wonder if they ever do. The Bible talks about the cloud of witnesses, and here we see Jesus watching this widow and calling the disciples over. You just wonder if our Heavenly Father sometimes does that. He's like, man, you got to see this, guys. Come here. He calls, you know, whoever's around the throne over to come look at this. You won't believe what my child's doing down there. Man, they really love me. I don't know if they do that. I don't know if God does that or not, but I know Jesus did here. Why? She gave out of her need. Number two, the second thing I think that made it so special is that she gave out of her faith. Obviously, she gave out of faith. She gave everything she had. And this represented her last meal. These two mites represented her last meal. You understand, I'm going to pick up my pennies here again, that you realize this lady had some choices. She comes into the temple. She's got these two mites. That's all her living. That's all she's got left. Now look up here. She's got a choice. The choices are threefold. I can either keep both for myself, because I mean, I'm in deep poverty, so I'll keep them both for myself. That was one choice. Her second choice was I could give one to God and keep one for myself. That was probably the most tempting option. I mean, after all, it's half anyway. And then the third option was I could give God both. I missed again. Wow, that's terrible. I can give both. That's the one. Now, you understand the first choice, keep them both, that required no faith. The second option, give one, keep one, required little faith. The third option, I'll just give them both to God, that required some great faith. And that's why she so touched the heart of Christ, and that's why he said she's cast more in than the rich people. Why? Because the rich people, they gave great sums of money. I mean, buddy, they were dropping in some big bills. I mean, big ones. These are not big ones, but let's pretend that these are big ones, all right? They're dropping in big bills. Jesus says she gave more than all of them. And the disciples were probably looking at her like, huh? What are you talking about? She gave more than them. The rich people gave great sums of money, but there was zero faith involved because they had tons of money left over after they gave. They gave, Jesus said, out of their abundance. And God doesn't call us to just give to him out of our excess. God doesn't just want our leftovers. No, the Bible uses the word first fruits. It's like the little boy that his mom gave him 2 quarters. He was going off to church, and his mom said, here's 2 quarters now. She said, son, you're going to give one of those to God. All right, you understand that? That's God's quarter. That's his offering. She said, now the other quarter's for you. You can buy candy on the way home. So he trotted off to church, and on the way to church, he dropped one of the quarters, and it went rolling, and it went into a sewer. And the little boy looked, and he went, sorry, God, there went your quarter. Right? That was God's quarter that went in the sewer. And I thought, you know, that's like us. So many times we give God our leftovers. And it requires no faith. And in your handout, it says that Jesus measured what was kept, not simply the amount given. Jesus measured what was kept. He knew what was left over. That's interesting. The widow gave all she had, Jesus said. She gave all her living, Jesus said. Her entire livelihood was represented in that gift. You understand that? That her entire, I better get this money before some of you grab it after church, huh? All right. But you understand that when she dropped those 2 coins in the offering plate, when she dropped that in, Jesus said that was all her living. She's basically saying, Lord, all that I am is yours. I make a total surrender. Did you know that's how those people in Macedonia could give in deep poverty? It's because of total surrender. Look in your handout, 2 Corinthians 8:5. It says in your handout, and this they did, not as we hoped. In other words, they went beyond what Paul hoped. He says, but first. Notice how I bolded that. Here's what they did. First, they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. By faith, they had presented their entire lives into God's hands. Church, listen, when I give my entire being to God, and I am not standing up here telling you that I am like Exhibit A, and that, you know, that, hey, yeah, watch me, I have total surrender. I'm not saying that. I want to be more surrendered. I want God to grow me. But when my entire being, when I give it all to God, when I say, Lord, I'm yours. Then giving of my time to the Lord, you know, giving of my resources, it's not an issue because I'm all his anyway. But I got to tell you, complete surrender takes faith. And it touches the heart of our Savior. Why? Because that was his attitude. Total surrender. You realize Jesus gave his all to the Father? Do you realize Jesus Christ gave up everything on the cross? He gave up everything on the cross in order to fulfill God's plan and to accomplish God's work. God's work meant more to Christ than his personal comfort. That's why he hung on the cross. That's high ground. But I'm just flat out telling you, that's the issue, is that Jesus Christ, what God was doing meant more to Jesus than his personal comfort. And that's why Jesus could say, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. He gave out of faith in the Father. And this widow gave out of faith. Giving, you know, we learned she gave out of her need. Giving's a now issue. We learned that giving is a faith issue. But then number three, and the last thing I want to give you is this. Number three, she gave out of her love for God. She gave out of her love for God. She loved the Lord. We need to love God more. You know, this woman, I'm telling you now, this really spoke to my heart. This woman had every reason not to give. Not only was she in extreme poverty, she was a widow. Now, wait a minute. You say, what does that have to do with it? I know some rich widows, Pastor Dan. What's that have to do with it? Her being a widow. Here's what it had to do with it. Here, let me tell you exactly why that would be a reason not to give in that day and time. The scribes were the religious leaders at the temple. The scribes were the one that were supposed to know the Bible and teach the Bible. Do you know what the common practice was for the scribes, the religious leaders at that time? Do you know what a common practice was for them? Look back at verse 38 and I'll show you. It says in verse 38, look at this. It says, he said unto them in his doctrine, Jesus said, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. And then look at this, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. You know what they did? Common practice is these scribes took advantage of helpless, defenseless widows. That's low life, but that's exactly what was happening, and Jesus knew it. God's representatives at that time were thieves and extortionists. And they very well may have taken everything this woman had. And that may explain why she comes into the temple with two mites to her name. Because when her husband died, the scribes probably extorted away from her any house, land, property, savings that she had. Now she's been reduced to two mites. Yet she unpretentiously walks through the door, walks in, drops her offering in the box, and humbly worships her God. Only a deep love for God would cause her to do that. Jesus knew all about this woman, and it really touched his heart. You see, she understood verse 30. Can you go back to verse 30? And isn't it interesting, this verse is in this chapter right before the story? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If this woman had a covetous heart, she could have easily hidden behind the excuse, well, why should I give? Those leaders are corrupt anyway. Why should I give? Those leaders are corrupt. Those leaders are wasting the money. Why should I give? She could have easily hidden behind that excuse. Of course, if you're going to hide behind something, you usually have to be smaller than what you hide behind. And she wasn't going to be smaller than the scribes. She was going to be bigger than them. And she realized that this was all about her relationship with God. It wasn't about the scribes. It wasn't about anybody or anything else. This was about her and God. Her giving was not just a now issue and a faith issue. It was a love issue. And I believe Jesus is standing there with the disciples, and he's watching just to witness this gift of love, this gift of sacrifice, this gift of total surrender. He's sitting there watching. And I thought, do we as Americans really know anything about sacrifice? We can't help where we were born. So I'm not saying we got to sit around feeling guilty about that. I mean, you can't help where you're born, and you can't help that. You don't choose where you're born or what family you're born in and all those things. I understand that. I get that. But I'm wondering, do we really understand even a little bit about surrender? A little bit about sacrifice? I mean, statistics show that most Americans, they give as much to feed their pets and their bad habits as they do to give to the Lord in a year's time. Do we really understand? And then I thought, are there any modern day widows like this? I want you to dim the lights up there for a minute. And I want to show you something that I found. And I actually ran this by J.J. Alderman, who was just with us, a missionary to Togo. This video takes place in Togo, West Africa. And at the end of the video, they are speaking in a southern Togo dialect. That's what J.J. told me. So and the words are a little hard to read down at the bottom, so I'm going to kind of help out by reading those words to make sure that you get what's happening at the end. It's just a short video, but it's a real-life story about a woman in Togo, West Africa, who wanted to give to God. I want you to watch this video and let this speak to your heart. Let's dim these too, Mike, these right here, okay? Watch this.
Venez à Jésus. Venez à lui. Il est le chemin, la vérité.
A team of pioneer church planters were going from place to place doing week-long outreaches. One afternoon, at a new location, the poorest woman in the area, a childless widow called Suzanne, decided she would surrender her life to Christ in response to the altar call at the end of the service.
Venez à lui. Il a le meilleur pour vous.
Each afternoon, according to the custom, people would stream forward after the appeal and lay on the altar some kind of offering to show their gratitude to God. Often these gifts were fruits or vegetables from their day's labor. Occasionally someone would offer an animal. But Suzanne was so poor she had nothing to give, and it grieved her deeply, as her newfound faith had totally transformed her life. Often she would just pray silently, though she desperately wanted to express her gratitude to God by bringing something tangible. On the last day of the mission outreach, the preacher shared the gospel for the last time.
Mes amis, si vous pouviez comprendre l'amour de Dieu, cet amour qui a fait qu'il a donné son fils unique, il l'a envoyé vivre parmi les hommes et mourir sur la croix. Et pourquoi il est mort? Pour vous libérer. N'ayez plus peur, n'ayez plus de crainte. N'ayez plus peur des esprits, n'ayez plus peur des fétichistes. Dieu est venu pour vous libérer de tout ça. Même le problème de votre péché, il est réglé à la croix. Venez à Jésus, donnez-lui votre vie. Il vous attend, il a le meilleur pour vous. Venez à lui.
This time, Suzanne was among those coming forward with their thank offerings. As she approached, she opened her hand and then gently and deliberately laid a small silver coin on the altar. The preacher knew she was destitute and guessed that she must have stolen it, but he didn't want to embarrass her in public, so he waited until after the service had finished. And then he went up to her and asked,
Suzanne? C'est beaucoup
Susan,
d'argent.
That's a lot of money. Where did you get it? Is it yours?
C'est à toi.
Pastor, Jesus has changed my life. Now I'm free. I'm no longer living in fear of our ancestral spirits and the witch doctor. There's an incredible joy and peace in my heart. Though my husband and children are dead, I still have reason to live. I'm sure that when I die, Jesus will receive me into his kingdom. I wanted to show him how grateful I am, and also to help you continue teaching so that other people like me can hear this great news. So I prayed, and yesterday I went to the tea plantation owner and sold myself as a slave for life for that $1.
That was the gift she laid on the altar that day. Her very life. Total surrender.
You know, I was thinking about this woman in our story. And to our knowledge, this widow never knew that Christ was watching her that day. She never knew that the choice that she made would be recorded in the Bible for millions of people to read down through the years. She probably thought her gift had little significance. She probably thought, well, why should I give? Look at all that silver and gold in there. What difference could my two little mites make? It doesn't matter. But it did matter. Little did she know that the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, was watching her and bragging on her behind her back. Did she ever find out that Christ was watching her and that he was pleased? Oh yeah. Matthew 6:4 proclaims that the sacrificial gifts that we give to God secretly, that he sees it, and in heaven one day he will reward us openly. She could have kept her coins and nobody would have ever known that woman ever existed. But by giving her two pennies, she is even still today teaching people about eternity. And I believe the point that God would want us to get here is that in your handout it says, we will never know the far-reaching impact that our giving makes until we get to heaven. Total surrender. Do we really know much about surrender? And I pray that God will take us deeper. That's all I'm saying. Let God take you deeper into a surrender of your heart and life to Him. He's worthy. The peace and joy that will come is phenomenal.